Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for being with us, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or the Party Animals on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, party people. The Buffalo Bills absolutely beat the doors off of the Denver Broncos 31-7.
Yeesh.
Starting off the action yesterday in the wild card round. But history was made right out the gate, and you said, hey, this Broncos team may be pretty good.
Out of the gun, Knicks fades back, seven-step drop, steps into a long, high-arcing throw, deep shot to Franklin, end zone, touchdown! The rookie Troy Franklin over the top of multiple Bills defenders. It's 43 yards for the rook, Bo Nix, and 6-0 Denver.
You know that was the first rookie-to-rookie touchdown in NFL playoff history?
That's kind of hard to believe, but then you also it's not, because how often do you have both a rookie quarterback and or rookie wide receiver?
I don't know, but it was, and it was Oregon Duck to Oregon Duck too, which I don't know if we'll see that one again, of not just two rookies, but guys that played on the same team in college too.
Yeah, that's incredibly likely.
That's pretty crazy. From there, it was all Denver Broncos, it was all Buffalo Bills. That game, you want to talk about winning at the line of scrimmage. The Buffalo Bills ransacked the Denver Broncos on both lines of scrimmage.
It was not close. You know,
holy guacamole.
The Broncos had a very nice scripted series, which on that Knicks to Franklin touchdown was nice.
Well, and this is the thing. With the way that Denver started the game, they were ultra aggressive, right? You go and you take those shots. You have the fake punt, which is a thing of Marvel right there, where you know that the Gunners are going to not want to give up the inside, so they take off to the inside so quickly. You run just a simple out route, and your punter can just lob a ball to Marvin Mims and complete a first down. But then right after that, boom, three plays, you're back to punting again. You saw Sean Payton in creating the extra possession, creating extra opportunities, and you're like, okay, they're going to be wildly aggressive in this game, and if it backfires on them, it backfires on them, and they're going to lose. The second half, they were nothing like they were in the first half, and that was the wild part about it, is that all of that creativity, all of that, we are going to press Buffalo as much as we can, it left early in the game.
Yeah, they tucked tail. They got in the red zone, and it just felt like they didn't give themselves any opportunity whatsoever. And I mean, maybe that had a lot to do with what Buffalo was doing to them, because I mean, like you said, they just manhandled them. I mean, you want to talk about the things to beat home again over and over and over these games. Yes, it's the better quarterback play one, but time of possession 41-43 to 18-17.
Well, that was incredible to see. Like,
goodness gracious.
In the first half, I was like, gosh, this seems like Buffalo has the ball all the time.
And they
had it for 19 and a half minutes in the first half. They had it for even more in the second half. Like, they just absolutely picked apart the entire Buffalo or Denver Broncos defense, and they were able just to hold on to it. And it wasn't like they were getting huge chunk yards on the ground.
Kept it moving.
It was first and second down, giving you third and manageable, and then you were just continued to, as John Madden would say, matriculate the ball down the field. And That was a masterclass. This Buffalo team, they look game, man. They look ready. They are
up and down the roster. It wasn't Josh Allen. Everybody
Holy
hop on my back.
Smokes.
It was Shakir. It was Milan. You just kind
James
of like
James Cook, man.
They ran 30 more plays. They doubled them up on offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you just go down the list of things that happened in this game, and you're just like, oh my sweet Jesus, what happened? 17 carries for 79 yards. Like, okay, they ran for 4.6 yards per carry. Nice, but you didn't and couldn't do anything.
Well, because you're trying to throw the ball on first down, incompletions, they put you in long situations where it's like running the ball isn't feasible.
And if you take away Franklin's 43-yard catch, mm-hmm. take 43 yards out of the 144, it's 101 yards passing the rest of the game.
Yep.
They could do nothing.
And that is a credit to Buffalo. And like this, that's exactly what we talked about heading into the game last week. When you have a veteran quarterback, and Josh Allen has seen so much football in the NFL, he has been in that system. He has been with Joe Brady for multiple years. Mm-hmm. You can go back and you can recall things and say, hey, remember when we did this? And you can adjust on the fly. You can add so much more depth to what you do offensively with a rookie quarterback. This is first year in. And especially in playoff football, like, you can't go put stuff in mid-game with Bo Nix and Sean Payton because they haven't been together long enough. None of the really those pieces have. And what we saw with Denver's a lot of what we saw with the Chargers too. You have Cortland Sutton, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have Ladd McConkey in L.A. They need to upgrade their weapons around Bo Nix. That's nothing new.
No.
You have a good offensive line, and even they got, for as good as they've been this year, they got manhandled up.
They couldn't do anything.
They really didn't.
The sacks didn't materialize, but there was just...
Well, in their inability to get to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like that...
That's a team that got after everyone.
They led the NFL in sacks by 9 over the next closest team, and they got to Josh Allen twice, which is nice, but you got to get... If you're going to do anything and you're going to make any noise against to upset a team, you got to get home a whole lot more, and they were just unable to do it. And as it is, like that Buffalo Baltimore game, that you said it, that may be the AFC Championship game. I mean,
the Chiefs
Kansas
are there,
City
but like,
is back to back Super Bowl champs. They're 15-2 in the number one overall seed. This game, though, it's everything you could want and a little bit more.
This Buffalo team, they threw for 250 and ran for 200 while also smothering the Broncos defensively.
Pretty good. Pretty good little
like, day. Where do you poke holes in that game for them?
Let's see. You win by 24. You put up 30.
You keep them to 7.
Don't give up that drive on the touchdown on the opening drive. What are you doing?
Have a better scripted defense.
Shut them out. There, did it.
There you go.
Shut them out.
Cowards.
Yeah. What are you doing? I mean... Force them to punt there, and you have the ball for 43 minutes, and they have the ball for 17 minutes of that game. There, fixed it. Boom. That's what they could have done. It was a masterclass, and when James Cook can get going like that, alleviate a little bit of that pressure on Josh Allen, this is a really damn tough team to beat, and it goes back to, as well, you know, Patrick Surtain is a really good corner. But one of the hardest parts about defending this Buffalo team is that you don't sit there and say, all right, Surtain, eliminate wide receiver number one. Because look at the way that the distribution of the ball went. Curtis Samuel was the leading receiver on 3 catches. Khalil Shakir, 6 for 61. Dalton Kincaid, 3 for 47. Dawson Knox, 2 for 38. Ty Johnson, for goodness sakes, 2 for 26. Where do you stand on the touchdown, no touchdown?
Touchdown.
In the back of the end zone. A lot of folks say, ball was moving. And I'll just give it to them. I thought it was a touchdown, too. He got his arm underneath the ball. The ball didn't really move. But
how about the lack of pass interference in the back of the end
zone? What I think is, in that catch, the NFL really needs to change the rule on the same foot twice. We saw that a few times this year where, like, a receiver will double tap, like, his left foot, but the right foot never goes down. On that Ty Johnson touchdown, he didn't get a toe down. He had 2 points of contact down, right? He got his leg and his arm were on the ground. His toes never touched out of bounds. The NFL should just be like 2 points of contact in bounds. That's a completed catch. Because if you're able to double tap one foot, that should be a catch.
Yes.
That should be a catch.
Why does it matter if it's the other foot?
No, just two, contact the ground twice, you're in.
Yeah.
That seems simpler than what they have right now.
Or, you know, your entire lower body on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Ty Johnson did.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the holding where Bill Vinovich went and apologized to Josh Allen during
the one that happened 5 feet in front of his face.
I love that. Did you hear Josh Allen's response to that?
No.
He was asked about it because obviously social media is like, see, Patrick Mahomes isn't the only one that gets this treatment. And Bill Vinovich, if you missed it, during a timeout, he went up and he was talking with Josh Allen because Allen jumped down his throat over a holding in the end zone.
Every right to. He got bear hugged in the back of the end zone directly in front of the ref.
Yeah, that was not a good that was not a good stretch for the officials there. Well, Vinovich goes up and he like taps him on the chest and he's like, hey, you know what? Blah, blah, blah. You can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Josh Allen told him, or just said afterwards that Vinovich told him, you need to stop yelling at us or I'm going to penalize you. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do our job. That's when he's doing his, you know, hitting his mm-hmm. own chest. And he goes, you're trying to do your job. Like, hey, I'm going to penalize you if you don't shut up. And so Josh Allen said, all right, I'll shut up. And they said, all right, we're good. You're good. We're good. And they left. That happens a lot more than we think. But it was weird, the visual of him going over to the bench as Josh Allen's in his parka and having that conversation. That was a weird visual.
Look, I'll tell you right now, in the NBA, it happens all the time when they get a call that wrong. Oh. The next stoppage, the next timeout, they will go over to the coach, they will go over to the player and go, yeah, that's on us.
We don't see it all.
Yeah.
But you can't MF
me. That's the thing is, when it's that bad and the player does MF him.
Yeah.
They say, look, you can't do that, but I'm going to let you do that one because, yeah, we did get it that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's a give and take that happens a lot more often than you think.
Yeah. Broncos, though, if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm excited. I am excited. I'm excited about where that team is headed because you finally have the quarterback. Your offensive line played really well. Your defense was outstanding. You get a couple of playmakers. Your roster's not that far from being competitive in the playoffs. You were non-competitive this year. This was a surprise year. You make it to the playoffs, and you have a rookie play the way he did. Will you get a little bit of a regression? Yeah, sure, maybe. Maybe. But you are heading in the right direction if you're the Denver Broncos. I think the same thing for the Chargers as well. But the Broncos are young, and they're going to be pretty damn good if Sean Payton and Bo Nix can continue to unravel that playbook like they did over the course of year one. The youngest team in the NFL, they got beat.
Mm.
And the score didn't really tell the story of how comfortable that felt for the Philadelphia Eagles. Next on The Fan. Philadelphia Eagles flexed on the Green Bay Packers, 22-10. Green Bay unable to get on the scoreboard until the second half, where they got a field goal in that third quarter. That game was sloppy. It was kind of ugly, and it was like the most Philly ball you could imagine. It looked like Jalen Hurts hadn't played football in almost a month. And Jordan Love, that nerve injury that he had in that elbow, you could tell that was bothering him in the cold all night long. It was not the sharpest of quarterbacking we saw.
No, and I don't even think you need to like step at it and be like, well, it wasn't kind of ugly. That game was hideous. It was a very ugly, disjointed.
I kind of liked it.
I mean, not well played game by either side.
Kind of liked it.
I will say, that is maybe the furthest I've ever seen a pile pushed than when Kraft came in and ran the sneak for the Packers.
Yeah.
That pile went 11 or 12 yards.
I don't know. Josh Jacobs moving human beings on his run. That run was incredible.
That was Beastquakian.
They tried to make a pile.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should just give him a touchdown.
Right?
Like, you're going to get it.
Yeah. I mean, he's down at the one-inch line.
But give him a touchdown for that, because that run was insanity that he had. And outside of that, not much to write home about if you're the Green Bay Packers.
No, I mean, offensively, it was for Trav Sham mockery.
For Philly, though, I think that this is the bright spot is now you have that Saquon Barkley being that workhorse back, mm-hmm. you can have a down game from Jalen Hurts. I don't think this is what we're going to see from Jalen Hurts moving forward. I think that you are going to get him kind of polish up and dial in. I mean, he had been off for a very long time. Wasn't even cleared until, what, Thursday?
Thursday.
You are going to see, but that dude was not running like he had been concussed. His last time on a football field. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, well.
As he kind of settles in, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, this game, it ended up being 22-10. It was closer than that, but it also wasn't at the same time. Because the Eagles didn't really deserve to be as productive as they were at times. Because they took the proverbial Yosemite Sam gun to the foot over and over and over again. But Jordan Love looked like Justin Fields back there.
And that's why his elbow is not, his arm's not right.
I mean, just YOLO throws, overthrowing, underthrowing, missing horribly. Like it was, nope. He also's got a finger. Mm-hmm. He hit his finger on a helmet during the game or something along those lines, but he kept looking down at his fingertip and it was just like, yeah, this doesn't look good.
Even when the score was 16-10, I didn't feel like the game was ever in jeopardy for Philly.
And that was the thing is, I think it said more about how bad the Packers were as opposed to how good or efficient or productive the Eagles were. Because if the Eagles play basically anybody else mm-hmm. with that performance this weekend, they lose.
I don't know. When your defense is playing that well, I don't know if you lose, but it's going to be closer. And you got to be better offensively moving forward. I think the thing with Philly and why I was like, this thing's never in doubt. Every time, well, twice, that Green Bay scored, what did Philly do? They answered with a score.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Green Bay gets a field goal. Philly gets a touchdown. Green Bay gets a touchdown. Philly gets a field goal. And you're just like, if this is how they're going to play, they're going to be fine. And they were. There is a lot of meat left on the bone offensively, mm-hmm. though. And A.J. Brown reading his book on the sidelines, that was something. I really don't have a problem with it. I understand why people make a big issue of it because of the fact that he's gotten into it with Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been a diva. But reading inner excellence, solid move.
Yeah.
Solid move by A.J. Brown. A learned man of books and literature.
Well, when you have one catch for 10 yards and you only have three targets, you know, he's got time.
Do you see James Palmer talk to him and A.J. Brown showed him the passage that he was reading?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know which one, but he has highlighted sections in it.
Mm.
And I'll give you this was the page that he was on, according to James Palmer. These are the highlighted sections. We've all had times when everything came together in perfect harmony. Sacred moments when we were totally immersed in the experience and felt fully alive. When these moments occur, we wish even for a split second we had the courage to pursue this risky path with all of our heart. The other one is, we're so hard on ourselves, amplifying all of our failures and regrets that we neglect to see what's possible. A life of freedom filled with deep contentment, joy, and confidence. Independent of circumstances, we're all human with the same deep desires and concerns. That's passage number two.
I mean, I guess
those are two good ones.
That certainly steps above LeBron James reading the first two pages of a book.
Well, these are actually highlighted.
Yeah.
So he's actually read them and is going back to it. And then here's the third one. In the pursuit of extraordinary performance, it's easy to succumb to anxiety and pressure because so much is out of your control. When you learn to live a life that is fully engaged, however, then you can perform your best and love the challenge. Every performance, presentation, or problem you face is an opportunity to learn and grow vividly experience with each moment. You will find as you take this journey with me that your best moments will always come from a clear mind and unburdened heart. I think that's what he was reading.
Are we doing Danny and Dusty Book Club?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going with this?
I think that third one is the one he was reading.
There you go.
Because this is it right here. Because so much is out of your control.
Unburden yourself.
That right there with the pressure to perform at a high level and so much is out of your control. Like your quarterback throwing you the ball a time. during the game. A single time. There's only so much you can control. So instead of A.J. Brown swinging on Jalen Hurts, he decided to read that passage, which I'm here for. That's personal growth, in my opinion. Way to go, AJ.
There you go. It definitely, I think, slides under deceitfully petty.
Really?
Yeah. I'm, come on.
I don't think
you
so.
You think this is done with nothing but good intention?
Apparently he does it every week.
Okay.
That's what they were saying after. Is like every week, that book is on the sideline with him every week.
Okay.
And
when did he start doing that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Palmer says he has it with him every game, and you can tell it's been knocked off benches on sidelines week after week. I don't know. Inner excellence could just be like how not to be a diva for dummies.
Sure. It's also skyrocketed to the top of Amazon books list because of his recommendation.
I kind of want to read it.
So,
one of
the reviews like on the Amazon bookstore right now is like AJ Brown reads this. So, as Philly fan, I am now reading this.
If I'm just going back to Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where Charlie can't read,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going, we are going to have so many Philly fans that open a book for the first time are like, why so many words?
Yeah, why with letters?
What? Where's the pictures? Give me pictures. I need pictures.
Books on tape.
Book. Yeah. Hey, that's what you can do. Go ahead and get it on Audible.
Yep. There you go.
I bet it's on there.
If it's not, it will be soon.
I'm going to go check to see if it's on my Audible right now.
All right, coming next, it's our worst day on the web. We have two choices.
Excellence.
We have Polish military general ends up at IKEA.
No way.
Or Chinese basketball star smuggles girlfriend.
That one.
Okay.
I want that one.
We'll get to that coming next on our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
We got two contenders here for our worst day on the web.
Well, can I just say I looked up the inner excellence here.
And?
Would you venture to guess how long the listening time is for inner excellence, the A.J. Brown book he was reading on the sideline? For the audio version, this is where Philly fan is going to be lost.
Okay, so I've done the, I've got the Grammarly to add on for my writing, and it'll tell me when I'm done how many words it has, like what level it's at, and how much time it would take to do like speech wise. And usually on a given article, I'm anywhere between 3,000 to 5,000 words, and that usually means my articles are anywhere between 12 minutes to 16 minutes.
Boy, this is a lot longer than I thought this was going to take. It's 360 pages long.
Okay.
The book is
okay. So I'm just saying. So if that's a couple pages, I'm going to say this is probably like 4 hours.
No, this is 10 hours and 29 minutes.
Good God, even more.
10 hours and 29 minutes, which is making me rethink of downloading. Inner excellence.
I mean, that's what that is. That's a lot of long walks.
Also,
or one really long walk.
I'm out on that. but 10 hours and 29 minutes. Like maybe if I was traveling more. Nope.
I mean, that's 1 5-hour flight there and back.
That's right. That's right. Like this,
you could have knocked that out on the way to Army Navy.
Yeah, or I could have done it for the Big Ten championship game or Michigan or Purdue,
so
but nope, this is, I don't have that time. If I download it now, I'll forget about it by that time next fall.
See, what you do is you save it for football season next year.
Like I was saying,
don't download it.
Just I'm just going to have
to. It'll pop back up. It'll be back in the zeitgeist, I'm sure.
Have to set a reminder.
There you go.
Download.
Set a reminder for the day before a game that you have on the East Coast next year.
I bet.
And then do it.
I bet this is complete to the contrary of what the point of inner excellence is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't put things off. Just go and attack them now. I'm like, nah.
No, I'm good.
I think I'm going to put this to the side and we'll get to it eventually.
Well, speaking of attacking things now, a Chinese basketball star was suspended for smuggling his girlfriend into his room in a suitcase to do homework.
Oh, this isn't that bad.
No.
I bet he was not going to be doing homework. Was it anatomy that he was doing?
Zhang Jingliang, on January 8th, he's a member of the Guangzhou Loon Lions.
Sure.
Which I'm pretty sure that's the Guangzhou beer team.
Oh.
if I'm not mistaken.
I have no idea. You could tell me it's anything, and I'd believe it.
No,
right now.
It's not Beer Lions. It's Beer Leopards. I get them mixed
up. Dude,
the
Beer Leopards.
Beer Leopards. So, my mistake. They're going to be meting out punishment.
He's supposed to be doing homework?
She's not supposed to be in the room.
But they're supposed to be doing homework?
Sure. He was helping her with her English studies.
Is this like the Bishop Gorman of...
No, it's just the...
it was her
rules.
Studies?
No. She was helping him.
Him with his
English studies.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What is the punishment for in a suitcase?
Yeah.
Is she part of Cirque du Soleil?
I mean, have you seen
Goodness gracious. Well, yeah, I have, which is that's
you seen
the only
Ocean's 11?
So she's either going to rob a casino or is like an acrobat?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Or it's a really big suitcase.
Also, good for you.
Great for him.
You know?
I wonder how long this plan had. How long has this been happening?
Yeah, I know. Let's review the tape.
Where did she get into the suitcase?
I'd imagine outside the building.
Did she ride under the bus?
You know, just again, going back to Ocean's 12.
Man,
is that Ocean's 12 or is that Ocean's 13?
No idea.
They get stuck in the bus with is it Liverpool or Arsenal?
Don't know.
It's a deep cut. It's a deep cut.
Don't know. All those movies kind of mesh together. There's like one glob of movie.
Yeah.
So was it after hours or you just can't have him in your hotel room? How old is this guy?
20.
He's 20?
Yeah. Team rules.
We really doing this?
I guess so.
He's one of the best players?
No.
Oh, I thought you said he's a Chinese basketball star.
Well, he's a Chinese star player. So it's...
I feel like they should... sliding scale of value on your team, you can get away with a little bit more.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, look, I'm picking up what you're putting down, but this is China.
I mean, how good you are determines how much you can get away with. I think when Stephon Marbury was playing over there, I don't think Starbury's getting...
They built him a statue.
Yeah, they're not busting him for wheeling somebody in a suitcase.
No, but they also let him eat his Vaseline.
That is such a weird thing.
How does that not kill you?
You got to build up that tolerance, right? I guess.
It's a petroleum-based product. Like, how does that not, like... The toxicity of that kill you.
Well, I think it killed enough brain cells to get a star tattoo on the side of his face.
You're not wrong.
Yep. So. That happened.
But yeah, I just thought that was an interesting one.
That is.
Smuggling. The other one, though, that stood out, this headline.
Why didn't he just sneak out and just go meet her somewhere?
Yeah.
You can study your English or anatomy wherever at that point.
I feel like I'm going to say something mildly controversial here. If you can talk her into stuffing herself into a suitcase, you could probably talk her into doing a lot of things. But I'm saying, why put forth the effort if she's willing to literally contort herself into a box to do it?
Yep. I'm
in America, they'll just sit at the hotel and wait for you.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. Let's sign him to the remix.
I mean, that's a keeper.
Yeah.
She's a keeper.
I'm picking up what he's putting down. This is the kind of guy that the remix need right now.
Yeah, she reminds me of Isla Fisher's character in Wedding Crashers. She's a whole different level of crazy.
Mm. What is her name?
It's Isla Fisher?
Isla?
Is it Isla?
Oh, I think it's Isla.
Is it Isla? I thought it was Isla.
Yeah, I think it's
Stage
like,
5 Clinger.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Island.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Silent S.
Yeah, sure.
But that's a name that it's so unique. I was going to say, you might have it right, and maybe I was saying it wrong.
In Spain and Italy, it's Isla.
All right.
So it all depends, I guess, where you're from.
I guess.
So whatever. There's another story here that I just have to bring up because it's so insane. The Polish general one.
Okay.
Anti-tank mines were discovered at IKEA. Anti-tank mines were discovered at IKEA. So a general ended up fired because they had to go to IKEA to go pick them up because they were in a warehouse.
So, they just... We got scanned onto the wrong truck here.
I don't know
that your furniture was going to the same shipping depot as, I don't know.
You can literally get everything at IKEA, including anti-material mines.
Do you think that general's like, hey, pick me up some of the meatballs too?
Yeah, right.
When you go there, give me some of the meatballs, bring those back.
In a Bjorg?
Yeah, get me a I need a new desk too. You're gonna have to put that together.
Yes. General Artur Kapczynski was dismissed from his post, the Polish defense ministry shared. Hmm. And Kapczynski's job as the head of support inspector was, among other things, to manage the logistics support system.
Yeah. Depends on.
According to the report, soldiers failed to unload part of the train carrying over 1,000 tons of explosives.
And on that train was the
anti-tank mines that continued to circle around the country before they went missing.
To IKEA.
On paper, false information about the number of mines was provided. Officials apparently became aware of the problem when the weapons were found sitting in the IKEA warehouse, at which some point, someone called the mayor to ask us, like, where would they like to collect their mines?
All I'm imagining right now is the Swedish chef calling this Polish general. Where'd you like to get your mines? And that's totally unfair, but that's all I have in my mind right now. Is somebody at IKEA?
He's not slanging meatballs. He's slanging mines. Like, when you read the headline, this is from Politico. This is like a reputable news agency. This is Polish general dismissed after losing mines at IKEA.
I tell you what, though, that's something about the way that the IKEA staff unloads their product, because usually they don't care, and it's just like, you're going to forklift pallet. That thing's going down pretty hard. Like, they don't care. You got some mines on that thing? They were gentle with it, at
Imagine
least.
Imagine that those hit the show floor. They're like, we need to find a skew for this. Like, those are definitely, those are legs to a couch.
Yeah. Whoa.
Screw them in gently.
Yeah. It's a new lamp we have. Just put a light bulb in it and put it on the showroom floor. Put a shade and a light bulb on it. You're good.
If they're anti-tank mines, that the trigger on them is quite dense. It's not like you could just like.
What's an anti-tank mine look like?
Like big giant dinner plates. Think like a Dutch oven shrunken down, like not as tall.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right here. Oh, yeah, you could definitely put this in the dinnerware section. Somebody's going to buy it. They're going to think it's like the new Swedish Instant Pot.
Yeah, it has a lot of that. Like, I mean, it's hilarious. Like, when you see, like, the literal boxes.
Yeah, those don't look crates. Like they should be going to IKEA. Like,
you can tell right away, it's like, those are military crates.
Whoa.
No matter where in the world you are, military crates look exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It doesn't matter what military it came from.
No, it's all army green.
Yeah. They're army green or tan with the same like locks and switches and the same kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark appeal to them.
So what you're telling me, okay, let's rewind this really quick.
Mm.
They had like the secret stash of weapons that weren't on the... like the manifest for the shipping mm-hmm. manifest, and they're like, hey, we're gonna keep this on down low, but we're gonna order more of these anti-tank mines, mm-hmm. which we could probably assume those are probably going to Ukraine.
It's probably like a Lord of War situation,
or just gonna be sold on the black market, mm-hmm. something like that.
Which
and the general is like, countries. Oh no, I forgot to slip my buddy the hundo to take those things off and put them to the side. Mm-hmm. And instead they ended up at IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. All right, I'm in. So, well,
there you go. Somewhere Nicolas Cage is like, well, I've got a part two for this movie.
Or Jonah Hill. Mm. Remember, he and Miles Teller did that.
That's also a crazy story, which happened with the repackaging of Chinese ammunition, which was under embargo at that time.
Yeah. Well, there you go. What is it called? War Dogs?
Is that what that was? I think it was War Dogs. Yeah. And there's Lord of War is the Nick Cage, Jared Leto one.
Oh, boy.
And he was the guy that they let the prisoner exchange go for 2 years ago.
Haven't watched those in a while.
Yeah. Not an uplifting movie.
No, along the same lines, though, I watched Queen Pins last night. That's with Kristen Bell, Vince Vaughn, the guy who plays the bodyguard in I, Tonya, and he plays the bomber from Atlanta. Paul Walter Hauser.
Oh, okay.
He's in it, and it's about this lady who ends up finding like if you write complaints to companies, they'll give mm-hmm. you free coupons. And so then her and her friend set up, she's like a super couponer.
Oh.
They set up a racket down in Mexico to where they print all of the free coupons to make it. It's based on a true story. They made millions of dollars selling them online. And then grocery store chain was like, wait a minute. We're going to get to the bottom of this. They were pocketing millions of dollars selling free coupons online.
That's a pretty good scam.
It is a pretty good scam. It's a pretty good scam.
The Pappy Winkle one is the one to me that was a really good scam that, if not for somebody being in the wrong place at the wrong time, would have never gotten caught.
Yeah, that's right. It was a roided out slow pitch softball team.
And they had it going.
They did. Well, they never knew because it was it's a mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, the honor system, just take a couple bottles here, take a couple bottles there, and boom, all of a sudden the price of Pappy went up. That's what caused Pappy Van Winkle to be as expensive as it is because the exclusivity of it, and then it hit black market and it went whoop.
And now they realize that and they keep it there.
Heck yeah.
Smart.
Yes.
You should appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the business model to follow the Louis XIII.
And it's really damn good.
It is.
This is really good.
It's awful tasty. All right. Coming up next, things that are not good. How about the predatory business practices of NIL?
Oh, boy.
Yikes, dog. With that here next on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan. NIL space, college football, college sports in general, has opened up a lot of different doors, particularly for athletes to make money where they couldn't in the past. It's a professionalization of amateur sports that has long been going on. It's nothing new. It's just now it's not fully facing, but mostly forward facing. And we have a better understanding and insight into what's going on. There was a video that came out this weekend where an NIL agent named Noah Reisenfield claimed pretty much every NIL agency charges 20%. That's compared to the NFL and NBA standard of 3-5%.
Well, we have the audio, and I think the audio tells a better story than anything else because he backs himself into quite the corner of how predatory NIL is.
The understanding of, you know, what we charge or whatever that may be, you know, that's another thing I think is so interesting. You know, it's so relative, the percentages. You know, the industry standard, pretty much every NIL agency charges 20%. When people hear that, they think it's outrageous because the NFL and NBA standard is 3-5%, right? NBA's 5, NFL's 3. You know, really where the relativity comes in is, you know, we ran some numbers with some people that do analytics and stuff, like a $10 million deal in the NFL is relative to a $1 million deal in college football right now. And so if you do the numbers on it, 3% of 10 million is 300,000. 2% or 20% of 100 or a million is 200,000. So it's actually relatively less than what you're making as an agent at the NFL and NBA level.
Yeah, it is, because the deals are not worth as much.
Yes.
And your job actually in the NIL space is not even as difficult as in the NFL, because you're negotiating the multi-million dollar contracts in the NFL with teams. And in college, you have the teams all saying, we want to give you all of this money, right? Or I guess the collectives are saying, this is the money that we have. The negotiation is far less detailed in college as it is in the National Football League. This is just saying, we still want to make six figures on any of our deals that we make, as opposed to saying, look, there are so many more college athletes. A lot of these things can be brokered on their own, by the way, with programs like Open Doors, which have set up to be a platform that kind of does all of this for them. And they're not taking 20% from the kids. What this is just predatory in saying, you guys don't know this space. We know you don't know this space. We are going to take as big of a chunk as we can. And oh, by the way, collective bargaining agreements have made it so we can't take 20% from NFL players, too.
No, it's capped at 3%. And here's the thing. This particular person paints himself into the corner because the framing that they have here is basically they're a flat 20%. Darren Heitner is a professor at Miami Law who teaches NIL law. He is a lawyer. He is an IP. He's an IP and property. Yeah. So he's a sports, entertainment, IP and business lawyer. Okay. He has said, like, he's been in the NIL space basically since it's been out there. He's not doing contracts for people. He's reviewing contracts and giving guidance to universities and to players and to other agents. So he sees a lot of the scope across the country. And I want to highlight what he dove deep into this. And he says, I'm not chiming in to take sides, but I see a lot of virtue signaling in the quotes, but I just want to add my two cents. He says, I provide legal services for athletes, agents, brands, collectives. So I see a lot. Some charge 3, 5, 10, 15, and yes, some charge 20%. And he's not saying that is like the flat line. He's saying, where he goes on further to say that the people that are charging 20%, he says, I've seen some agents charge 20% on collective deals who have vigorously negotiated with those collectives to increase the collective's initial offers to athletes by over 10 times before the ink was dry. In those cases, paying out 20% is a bargain. And he's absolutely right.
Because they're actually doing negotiations and work.
Yes. And they're getting you more money than you. Let's say somebody offers $50,000 and now all of a sudden you're at $500,000. The 20% is absolutely worth it. Because when you talk about, one of the things Heitner says is he doesn't do percentage rates. He does hourly fees of like, and that's the thing is like when you're talking about an agent, if they are vigorously negotiating for you over a period of time and those hours go from 10 to 20 to 60 to 100 hours and their hourly rate is just nowhere near what the money that you are now getting, that's why the percentage makes sense for them. But the problem is the initial post, this guy is talking about a 20% flat rate fee as an agent. Which is astro freaking nominal.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of the schools are identifying what agents a lot of these young men and women are working with, and they're saying red flag.
Yeah.
Based on the people that you're working with, because they're the ones that are going to say, enter the portal next year.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get more. We can do this again. And that's not in the best interest of the young person either. And there's a lot of agents that are going to be weeded out by this. But also, this is why the education part of NIL is going to be so important for universities to kind of separate themselves from other schools, in that you are going to, the schools that educate their athletes on predatory behavior from, you know, money managers, agents, you know, how to be able, truly, how to be able to tell your family no. You know, when they're coming out of the woodworks asking for more and more and more, more money, that is there. There's an educational component of that that needs to be taught. And there are some schools that are doing that at this point where they're saying, look, it's OK to tell them, you know, your uncles and your aunts no, because you've got to look out for your long term and be able to provide for yourself long term, because this, well, it's going to dry up eventually. We see with professional athletes, we see all of the numbers of how many athletes go broke within 5 years of being done playing.
The financial literacy part of this. And that's,
it's going to be huge. Yeah.
Greg Oden, when he came to town, that was the thing that he said he's focusing on right now, is helping with financial literacy of college and early professional athletes, because so much of this, you see this stuff. And this guy, Noah Reisenfeld, I'll say it, he seems like a dirtbag. Like if you like, he had a tweet just the other day in response to a Tulane fan saying, yeah, I got two players entertaining Tulane right now, and I'm going to send them to Memphis and another AAC school just because of your dog bleep fan base right now.
See that right there? His best interests aren't for the student athlete.
No, it's about him.
Not one bit. And that's a huge problem in the NIL space right now. It's done a lot of really good for student athletes. But you're
always going to find the predators.
When you get some weasels in there, it's going to be bad. And all of this is saying, we are headed towards collective bargaining in college athletics, because you need it to stop things like this from happening.
Again, like the part of the gatekeeping of becoming an agent in the NFL and NBA is that you have to pay money to do it. It's like it's $1,700 a year, and that keeps you know, low-level scammers out to take the test and get qualified and then to pay for your license and the union fees and dues and all that kind of stuff. Because, again, it doesn't sound like that much, but if you're somebody who's just on the outside, like, oh, I can do this, like, well, all of a sudden you got to pay money to take a test and you got to pay money for to keep up every year. It's like, it's those little things that do just enough to keep some of the riffraff out. Not all, but some. All right, come up in hour number 3. We still got to talk about them damn Manders. Commanders and Bucks, probably the best game of the weekend. And I don't know, man. Are these Commanders touched by the opposite of Daniel Snyder? Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.